This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, rolling along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. It is Mother's Day this weekend. Get her the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss for Mother's Day with our Odyssey Self-Care Passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400. Over 70% savings, just $375. Visit getmyperks.com to get yours while supplies last. We had another terrific night of NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. You had the comeback that fell a little bit short by the Florida Panthers against the Toronto Maple Leafs, so at least now lead that one 1-0. But the comeback that did not fall short by the New York Knicks over the Boston Celtics, surprisingly, the Knicks go to Boston. They lead that one 1-0. In the meantime, the Bruins, along with the Sabres, they're in the NHL draft lottery, but that winds up being the New York Islanders getting the number one overall pick. And we have the New England Patriots offseason, which has been very eventful, to talk about all of that with our next guest, Evan Lazar. Love having him on here, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Evan, good morning to you. How are you recovering after that loss last night by the Celtics?
Well, I was at the game, Sal, so it was pretty tough one to swallow. Yeah, I mean, look, I like how, you know, I'm sure it's the same way in Buffalo with the Bills. When you lose a game like that, it becomes a referendum on the entire program, right?
Yes.
Is their coaching good? Is their playing style good? You know, that's the two big questions right now. Missoula and the 3-point shooting is taking some heat here today, but I expect them to bounce back tomorrow night in game two. But it's funny how that always seems to be the way we go. It's very extreme. They're either, you know, queuing the duck boats, as we say around here, for the championship parade, or we're firing everybody.
I totally get it. I mean, this year, though, is kind of championship or bust for the Celtics, right? Even if they get to the finals, they lose. I think it would almost seem like a disappointment considering where they've been and the team they've built.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're defending champs for a reason. And I think you look at throughout the course of history, you have to take your opportunities when they come. And if they don't win it this year and they only end this run here with the team that they have with just the one title, it's not that anybody's going to be overly disappointed, but you clearly want to get more than one while you still have, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in this core together. So you got to take advantage of your opportunities. You got to win, while you have your team together and your core players are in their prime. So every year right now is championship or bust for the Celtics.
So what do they need to do better besides 3-point shooting? Anything? Or does it really just come down to that? Hey, you make your shots, you win the game. Because I'm watching the game last night. They also kind of got smothered a bit on defense. I applaud the Knicks for their defensive effort, some of the plays they made towards the stretch run there. But is it as simple as just make your 3-pointers going forward?
Well, you definitely, you know, there's a line of demarcation there with the Celtics in terms of, you know, when they make their threes, they win. When they don't, they lose. And I know that that's an oversimplification of it, but that's definitely a piece of it. Now, I would say there's a philosophical debate that's going on in Boston right now about whether or not their three-point volume in particular, you know, shooting 63s in a game, there's two ways to look at it. One is, they shot below their usual season average. So if they shoot their season average at that volume, then they probably blow the Knicks out, right? So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is when the threes aren't falling, do you have a plan B? Do you have an offhand? Do you have something else you can go to get your team across the finish line? But, you know, I'm a football guy, Sal, as you know, and I always compare it to the mindset in football of, you pass to score and you run to win, right? So you pass to get the lead, and then when you get the lead in the fourth quarter, that's when you start to pay attention to the clock and start running the football more. And the Celtics, sometimes they don't necessarily run to win. You know, they don't have that closer mentality, and they kind of just do what they do, and they jack up the threes, and if they don't fall in the fourth quarter, then they tend to be on the wrong side of some of those games. But I have no panic yet. I need to see the Knicks do that a couple more times before I start to worry about the series as a whole. But, you know, looking long term to potential Eastern Conference Finals or Finals matchups, like if they lose and they come up short, then this is probably going to be why.
What about the other matchup to get to the finals? Obviously, had another upset, the Pacers over the Cavs. The Cavs look like such a machine, but the Pacers did a great job on them. How are you viewing that series and the matchup?
Well, I believe that most Celtics fans understand how good of a team the Indiana Pacers are because even though they swept them last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, all four of those games came down to the wire, and the Celtics really were lucky to sweep that series. If you go back and watch, especially game one, Jaylen Brown hits a three-pointer basically at the buzzer of regulation to send that game to overtime, you know, basically saves the game for the Celtics going back to last year. And I grew a lot of respect for the Indiana Pacers. They play with a ton of pace. They have a great offense. They can score at will against you, and they're a great, you know, ball movement team and pace team that really just plays at a speed that I don't think the Cavaliers were necessarily ready for in game one. So I expect Cleveland to adjust to it as they go here. But those games last year in the Eastern Conference Finals could have gone either way, just like the game won in Cleveland. So I'm not at all surprised that the Pacers are giving the Cavs a series and are going to be a tough out. So either way, I like the Celtics if they can get through this Knicks series. But I do think that, you know, there's reasons to like both those teams, especially Indiana. I have a lot of respect for that Pacers team. I think they got unlucky a little bit last year against the Celtics.
In the West, you already have 2, 3, and 5 out of it, right? You got a 6-7 matchup, a 1-4 matchup. The 4 beats the 1 last night. It's chaos in the West here, Evan. I mean, what do you think about what's happening out there?
Yeah, I saw Oklahoma City play the Celtics in the regular season here in Boston, and they controlled the game from start to finish and beat the Celtics in the Garden. And I looked at that Thunder team, and I said, you know, that's the first time in probably 2 or 3 years where I felt like there might be a team that's better than the Celtics. Not that the Celtics have won every game. You know, they have their slip-ups and things like that, but a team that's truly just straight up better than Boston with Oklahoma City. So if you're a Celtics fan, you got to be looking at that Nuggets-Thunder series and hoping that Jokic knocks out the Thunder, right? I mean, I think it's a much better matchup for the Celtics if it comes to that, but at the end of the day, I really think Oklahoma City and Cleveland and Boston will bounce back and end up winning those series. But it's interesting to me to see the Thunder team kind of go through these growing pains because the Celtics had the same thing. You know, 18, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron James and Jason Tatum's rookie year. They lose in a game 7, and they lost in the finals to the Warriors. They lost in a game 7 to Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals the following year. So it feels like in basketball you have to get knocked down and push the old boulder back up the mountain a couple of times before you actually get over the hump. And I feel like that's what Oklahoma City is going through right now.
Evan Lazar on the Western Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter @EZLazar. We'll get to the Patriots, obviously the team you report on. But I know you follow the Bruins closely, too. First time in 9 years they missed the playoffs. They're in the draft lottery with the Sabres last night. For the last few years, I've said, okay, Bruins are aging out. You know, they're not going to do it. And then all of a sudden, they have these nice runs. That didn't happen this year. Where are they, and how much are the Fire Sweeney, is that crowd really waiting and wanting that to happen?
The Bruins are in a bad spot right now, Sal. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The Bruins are in a really bad spot organizationally. They had a very bad season. They sold basically all of their pieces that they could at the trade deadline. They trade guys that are really franchise pillars here, like Brad Marchand, but also, you know, players like Charlie Coyle and you know, Brandon Carlo and guys that were on that you know, leadership team, I would say, you know, for their team. And they trade all these guys at the trade deadline. Probably an understandable move given where they were, but trading a guy like Marchand's going to be unpopular, no matter where they are in the standings. You know, when you trade a team captain and a guy whose number might be hanging up in the rafters eventually for the Bruins, it's going to be unpopular. So they did that. They fired a coach again, Jim Montgomery, mid-season. They fire a coach. And now Don Sweeney and Cam Neely and Charlie Jacobs, their owner, they had, I don't know if you saw it, Sal, but they had one of the weirdest press conferences I've ever witnessed in my life as their end of season press conference, where they basically took zero accountability for any of the issues that were up with the team and essentially went toe to toe with the media with some tough questions. Kudos to the Bruins media. And they were very defensive. They were sounded like a group in denial that doesn't think that they're that far away. That they feel like they can retool here on the fly around Pastrnak and Swayman and McAvoy primarily, but they have a long way to go. You know, their center depth is not very good. I would expect that's where they'll go with the seventh overall pick. But they also need scoring. You know, Pastrnak is really the only guy that scores on the team besides Morgan Geeky. It's like those two guys were the only guys scoring all season long. So they need secondary scoring. They need center depth. Those are two pretty big things when it comes to hockey. So I really feel like, you know, they're a ways away. And then on top of that, they don't have a coach right now. You know, so they're still in the interview process with hiring a new head coach. So the Bruins are a mess. They're kind of a mess right now.
I did not see this press conference, so I have to go back and watch this now. So now that you're, I love watching stuff like this and seeing what they say.
It was crazy. Like they kind of had their boilerplate, you know, PR statements at the beginning where they took some accountability and, you know, this is on us. We didn't do a good enough job. But then they were asked specific questions about, you know, coaching firings, where they've now fired Bruce Cassidy, who won the Stanley Cup with Vegas, and then Jim Montgomery, who got the Blues into the playoffs and got them to a game seven against the number one. So when you started pointing all of the coaching and these two guys, Cassidy and Montgomery, have gone elsewhere and had a lot of success, well, is it really the coaching or is it the roster? And the one guy still standing is the guy that's building the roster. So it just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And they've said that some of their coaching candidates are still in the playoffs, some of the assistants on the teams. Misha Donskoy from the Stars is probably the number one name to know. They interviewed him the last time around, and he was a finalist for the job. So it seems like one of their guys that they want to target, you know, Donskoy is the one that gets most of the publicity about it, is still in the playoffs, and they might move quickly once Dallas's season is over. But, I mean, right now it's not a whole lot of depth in their whole organization. I mean, they don't really have very many prospects to get excited about either. So it's been tough sledding for them.
I just found it on YouTube, I think. This is the one with Charlie Jacobs, Cam Neely, and Don Sweeney, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to bookmark this. This is my listening. When I'm bumping around the house and cleaning a little bit later, I'm going to put on the headphones and listen to this on YouTube. Evan Lazar joining us. Yeah, thank you.
Poking, you know, right at them. It's great.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Evan Lazar here on the Western Hotline. All right, as much as fans may be a little bit really kind of disappointed in where the Bruins are going, it's got to be a different feeling about the Patriots after the last couple of years and seeing now what they're trying to build. I imagine the feeling is pretty good about the Patriots' trajectory this offseason.
It is, it is. And, you know, you hear some people, I saw Kay Adams on her show, who I love, by the way, you know, talking about the Patriots potentially making a push for the playoffs. And I think we're a little bit, you know, let's not put the cart before the horse with the Patriots making the playoffs. I'm excited about what they've done, but they still got to go out there as this iteration of the Patriots and win some games before we're going to start talking about wild card bursts and things like that. But they certainly have checked a lot of boxes this offseason. They feel like they've filled a lot of holes. We'll see if all the signings and draft picks pan out. But they were really, what I would say the best word to describe their offseason was organized. You know, you could feel a vision from Mike Vrabel on down of a structure of how they exactly wanted to do things. You know, really more defense-focused in free agency and then offense-focused in the draft. But just in terms of the types of players they were targeting, both on and off the field, you know, character guys, guys that fit the scheme, guys that have history with the coaches here in New England now. It just seemed like there was a real clear vision, and the word that they always use as well is organization and being organized at the top. So from that respect, this is running a lot smoother this time around than when you talked to me a year ago.
What is the thought on Stephon Diggs and what his role is going to be with the New England Patriots after what you saw of him pre-injury and then, of course, recovering from the injury?
Right. So they're being pretty upfront about the fact that Stephon Diggs is probably not going to do much in the spring and summer. He's probably someone that's maybe a candidate to start the year on PUP, but he's trying to push to be ready sooner, of course. So we'll end up, you know, seeing what happens in August, I would say, in terms of his availability early in the season. But the one thing that you just noticed watching him in Houston, especially last year, is he's really evolved his game to being more of a first and second level guy than a true down the field, you know, explosive play type of player like he was, you know, in his heyday in Buffalo and Minnesota. So I would say that they're looking at him, and we know with this Josh McDaniels offense that it's often death by a thousand paper cuts instead of, you know, big play, big play, big play. You know, they kind of like to move the chains. And I would look at Stephon Diggs as the chain mover in this offense, the volume guy, the guy that's going to get the bulk of the targets, and the guy that's going to just, you know, when it's third and seven, third and eight, you know, that's where Drake May is going to look past the sticks will be the Stephon Diggs. So I believe that's where they're hoping he's going to fit in. Play a little bit of that slot role that we've seen here in New England in the past, have so much success in this offense and in this system. And then hopefully they'll get some of the bigger plays from Kyle Williams, their third round draft pick, or Travion Henderson, their second round draft pick, both guys that are explosive players with the ball in their hands and explosive skill players. So I think they're pretty excited about what they've done offensively. Obviously having McDaniels back is really huge for the team in general and for Drake May specifically. But with Diggs in particular, I see him as someone that they're really hoping is going to be sort of the chain mover and the engine of this offense.
Yeah, I think everybody recognizes Drake May is a really talented young quarterback, and if you can build around him, you know, he's gonna be something to deal with for many years to come. But you also have to protect him. They did go out and make their first-round draft pick, as Will Campbell was their first pick in the NFL draft to go help protect him. How does that unit stack up trying to kind of go forward and making sure that they can protect their young quarterback?
Well, it's definitely better on paper than it was last year, but it would be hard to be much worse than when they put out there last year. They were, you know, 32nd in the league in pass block win rate, 31st in the league in run block win rate. They were pretty much the worst offensive line last year by every advanced metric that you can get your hands on. So they've improved that group. Will Campbell at left tackle, which should be an upgrade from what they had there last year. But I think a lot of the questions that people have is, okay, it's one thing to be an upgrade over Vidarian Lowe. That's not a very high bar. The question really is, can you be a great player at that position? You know, if you're an average player, that's great. But when you take a guy fourth overall, you're hoping that he's going to be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro talent. Now, he has the talent to be that, but he does have the arm length deficiency that I'm sure you've heard all about, Sal, that we talked about here for like six straight months. So, you know, he measured it at 32 5/8 at the combine, 33 inches at his pro day. So he doesn't have the prototypical length of a left tackle. And is he going to be able to work around those deficiencies? You know, everybody you talk to believes that he can with his athleticism and his balance and his play strength as well, and his toughness and his work ethic and all that good stuff that he brings to the table. It's basically like he checks every single box imaginable for a franchise left tackle besides the arm wave. So if that's the one thing that he doesn't bring to the table, people are optimistic that he's going to be able to overcome that. But to what level? You know, is he going to be a top 10 left tackle in the NFL, or is he going to be an average left tackle in the NFL? That remains to be seen. But between Will Campbell at left tackle, Morgan Moses at right tackle, bringing in the veteran there to hold down that position at least for 2025, and then some of the upgrades that they made on the interior, you know, Jared Wilson, their third-round pick, is a promising center prospect. Garrett Bradbury comes over from Minnesota to kind of be the bridge at that position with David Andrews moving on. So there's optimism on the offensive line for sure.
All right, let's go to the defensive side here. And how much of a change is it going into Mike Vrabel's system coming over from where he was at Tennessee a couple of years ago, obviously, to what they had? Because it seems like there's some different parts moving in and out. Obviously, Harold Landry comes to mind as one of those guys. But how much of a difference will the defense look, basically, aesthetically?
Yeah, I do think it's going to be different. They've talked a lot about being more aggressive, being a more vertical or up-the-field defense that plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage and tries to put pressure on the quarterback and all those good things that you hear this time of year from coaches and new coaching staffs. But Bill Belichick, not that they didn't prioritize pressure, because every defense does that, but they typically ran a two-gapping system under Bill. They were an odd front team, 3-4 defense for most of the time that he was here as the coach. And then as a disciple, Gerard Mayo basically ran that same system last year here in New England as well. So they've been more of a build a wall, hold the point of attack, shed blocks into gaps and things like that as their two-gapping principles, where Vrabel, it seems like he wants to play faster and he wants to play more aggressive, get guys up the field. Milton Williams is obviously their big splash free agent signing as a penetrating interior defensive lineman, kind of like an Ed Oliver type. So they feel like they are going to be more aggressive. They've gotten faster and smaller as a result, that linebacker. They've moved on from like the Juwan Bentleys of the world that are those 250, 255 pound thumpers. And they feel like they want to fly around a little bit more. I think the back end will be relatively similar just because you have Christian Gonzalez and you're going to have him play man coverage and do what he does best and not, put him in a place where he's playing a role or a scheme that he's not going to succeed in as probably one of your best young players. So I expect him to still play a lot of man-to-man like they did under Belichick and Gerard Mayo, but up front, they're going to want to attack. That's really the words that we've heard: violence, aggressiveness, attack-minded defense.
Before I let you go, just an update on Christian Barmore, if there is one. Obviously, tough situation there. Really good young player, obviously, who had the blood clot situation.
Yeah, well, the good news is he's been out there during this portion of the offseason. Obviously, there's no contact yet or anything like that, so we're just doing workouts. But he has been out there. He has been at the facility. It doesn't sound like there's been any real setbacks as of yet. But the scary part with him was that he came back last year for a period of time, and then they had to take him off the field again, six, 7 games into his return, and the symptoms reoccurred, and they had to take him off the field again. So that's obviously not ideal. And, I just mentioned Milton Williams. They have invested in some reinforcements there with Williams and Joshua Farmer, who they drafted early on day three, guys that could be Barmore insurance. But they're hoping, and their ideal defensive line is to have Williams, Barmore, and Keon White out there together a lot, the bulk of the staffs, and let those guys try to get after it and go wreck the game. So their ceiling as a team hinges on a lot of those kind of coin flips of, is Barmore going to be available? Is he not going to be available? Is Drake May going to take that next step? Is he not going to take those next steps? Like, that's going to be what's going to decide whether or not, talking playoffs is crazy or talking playoffs is realistic.
Always good to catch up, buddy. Thank you so much. We can talk Boston sports, obviously, a whole variety of them with you, which is why I love having you on, especially this time of year when there's so much going on. Evan Lazar, senior reporter, host the Patriots Catch 22, and of course, Patriots.com. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your offseason, but I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Sal. Anytime.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That is Evan Lazar. You can follow him on Twitter at EZ Lazar, EZLAZAR. Does a great job covering the Patriots and talking all Boston sports. So, yeah, we got to leave some space for our rivals in Boston, right? I just can't do it. I can't root for a Boston team. Sorry. I know there's a lot of like Red Sox fans in the area and you hate the Yankees, and that's cool. I get it. You know, the evil empire. People say, how are you a Yankees fan? Such a big market, big team. I don't know. When you grow up in Buffalo, I get it. Like, you're a Red Sox fan. I don't hold that against people who are Red Sox fans. Like, how do you root for a Boston team from Buffalo? Baseball is just kind of weird like that. You grow up, you have allegiances that go different ways for different reasons, right? But can't be a Bruins fan of Buffalo, can you? Can't be a, I guess you could be a Celtics fan, I guess. I mean, you know, there are ties from the Braves to the Celtics. Go look it up, actually, not just the Clippers and how all that deal went down and the transfer of the team and ownership and all that stuff. But, you know, I can't root for the Celtics. I can't root for the Bruins. That's, in all of sports, the Bruins might still be my number one kind of hated rival growing up in sports because of the me growing up in the 80s with the Sabres and Bruins. We talked a lot of hockey today. We've had Andrew Gross on from Newsday. The Islanders get the number one overall pick. We just had Evan Lazar on talking about the Bruins, but also Celtics and Patriots. And as always, you can catch all of our interviews on demand at WGR550.com. All right, we'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we got to touch on the Bills because it's a big week for all of the youngsters to come to town. Rookie minicamp is this week. I'll kind of set you up for a primer on that when we return here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, we got Rookie Minicamp coming up this week. Coverage of Bill's Rookie Minicamp on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Can't wait for Rookie Minicamp on Friday to go see some of these rookies for the first time. It's going to be good weather, I think, on Friday out at the stadium. Also, join us for Par for a Purpose on May 19th and playing a foursome at Double Black Diamond Golf Course. A majority of the proceeds will benefit the 11-day Power Play. Registration includes a lunch, dinner, two drink tickets, greens fees, cart, and prizes. Visit WGR550/events.com to register right now. It is courtesy of Ellicottville Chamber and Commerce and Labatt. And we are going to be out there playing down in Ellicottville, me and Jeremy. I don't know who's on our team exactly, the WGR team. I think it's me and Jeremy. Jeremy and I should say. So I don't exactly know who's on the team. So maybe it's you. Who knows? Maybe somebody out there is listening. They're going to be a part of it. Rookie minicamp this week. So the Bills will be on the field for rookie minicamp this week. I don't have the exact time yet. I'm guessing right around 12:30 or so is when the practice will start. We'll hear from rookies before or after that. Typically, you know, sometimes we'll hear from Sean McDermott. Sometimes we won't, but we'll have all your coverage this week as far as rookie minicamp is concerned. And, you know, I say it all the time when people tell me about rookies and these expectations. Certainly that you can have a rookie make this team, make an impact on this team. We'd all love to see it. It's hard. It's hard for a rookie to do that on a team that has as good of a roster as the Bills. When people tell me often believe that the Bills just have this overarching philosophy that they don't play younger players, it's not true. They do. Christian Benford started his his rookie year as a sixth round pick. Osiris Torrance started his rookie year every single game. That can happen. Keon Coleman took him a little while. He started playing a lot more. Sometimes it doesn't work out like that. A lot of times just because guys are blocking you. Guys are in front of you. It's tough. It's tough to make the roster for the later round picks. And then it's tough to actually play whether you're an early or a late round pick. I do think this year is a little bit different for the earlier round picks, meaning Max Harrison specifically. I mean, even though the Bills went out and signed Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson, I think Max Harrison has, if I was with the odds right now on who would start opposite Christian Benford, ooh, let's do that. Maybe we should play a game here, Josh. Maybe we should tweet out or something. Like, what are the odds? What odds would you give? If I gave you, I don't know, how do you want to do this? Like, stock, right? We do stock. 100 stock pieces of stock. Who would you put your stock on to start opposite Christian Benford? Is it over 50 of those pieces on Max Harrison, do you think, Josh? Would you put it there? Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson?
For me, I would put over 50 on Harrison. I just think that, like, the energy and the just everything around him just feels like that would be a great fit for this defense right now. And yes, Trey White would be, you know, fun and the nostalgia and everything, but I just really think that he's like your perfect number two option at this stage. So get Hairston in there right away, see what he's got and see what he can do. And, you know, like I said, you'll have Jackson and White to back him up. So I think it's kind of like a really nice build they have there with those cornerbacks. Not to mention the other guys they drafted in the later rounds too.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think Jordan Hancock is going to make this team in some capacity. It's Dorian Strong, I guess, you know, it's tough to cut fifth, sixth round picks, but you know, you kind of have to if you're that kind of full where they are. It is possible. It is possible because of the young guys and the infusion they signed. It is possible that Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson are kind of fighting for a spot. I say that because they're the veterans. If you cut them, one of them, they don't have to go through waivers. If you cut Jordan Hancock, he's got to go through waivers. Anybody can claim him. You don't want to lose him. You drafted him as a backup safety and nickel. He's making the team, right? I don't know if you want to cut Dorian Strong. You can cut Daquan Hardy again. He's there. He's going to fight for a spot. He's a year in the system. You know, guy, people forget, right? I think it's easy to forget that Daquan Hardy and Tecori Couch, like, they're on this team and they have been for a year. And you got to give guys like that a little bit of a chance. Now, they can get overdrafted, overplayed by somebody, no doubt about it, because, all right, you're here. They're not as good as these other guys. You're going to keep putting more guys and younger guys ahead of them. I understand. But just look at the way that the Bills operate. Look at the way they build their roster. Look at their philosophies. They bring guys in, they develop them, and then those guys play. I think Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram are two perfect examples of this. By the way, thank you. Our boss, Alan Davis, tells me it is Jeremy, Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, and me, the foursome for Par for a Purpose on May 19th. And you can join us and be a part of it and hang out with us. That will be cool. We'll have lunch together and drinks together and hang out together. We'll see each other on the golf course. Okay, this is the other thing. All right, now I just said this thing about the Bills. Now I'm in this mode of who should I want to ride in a cart with, Josh, out of this group? Should it be Jeremy and me, Joe and me, or Nate and me? Like, what am I... Who should I want to be in my cart with me on this foursome?
Well, there's different... I mean, you could look at different ways of pairing people up here. I mean, Jeremy and Joe, obviously, they do their show together. But if you and Joe ride together, like, you're reuniting the Extra Point Show, which would be kind of fun.
We could also do age, right? Jeremy and I are the older guys.
Old versus
young.
With
the younger guys, Nate and Joe.
That one, I think, might be the most fun.
Right? Yeah, that might be.
There's a lot of ways you can mix and match that, though. I think it'd be interesting to see who comes out on top when you put different pairs together.
And I know Jeremy. Jeremy, look, let me tell you something. I've golfed with Jeremy many times. He is going to want to play some sort of convoluted game between the four of us. That's what he does. He's like, we got to play this game and that game. Games that have names and animals and all these kinds of things that I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. And I'm like, all right, whatever you want to play, I'm here. Just keep track of my score. That's what I do.
Yeah,
because he does that. It's cool. I'm not complaining. It's fun. But as long as he's keeping track, I'm down. Let's go. You want to do it? That's fine. Just tell me what I need to do. As long as you're keeping track of this score and this game that we're playing, you can do it. And all these games have all these animal names, basically, it seems like.
Well, he introduced me to the game 13 like a week ago now. And that
was
a
number
fun.
Game.
That was where actually you take 13 holes of golf from your score and you X out five of them, but you can't exit out whenever you want. You have to exit out right at the end of the hole, or you have to keep it. So you don't know until you get to the next hole, like, what your scores
way
are.
Way
like.
Too confusing for me. That what? Is way
no,
worse than the NHL
easy.
Draft lottery. I do not want this. And if you look at, no, again, I'll go back to what I just said. Totally fine. He wants to play this game. You keep track of the score.
That is true. He did.
It
keep
sounds
track of
like
the
it's
score
confusing. it sounds confusing to me.
I didn't have to keep track of the score. He just said, do you want to keep that score or not? And I was like, I guess I will. I guess I won't. You know, like, that was it. Like, it was just that simple for me.
Wait a minute. So what? Wait. You get only how many? You get five scores you don't keep? Is that what it is?
Yeah. So, like, let's say on hole one you hit a bogey and you're like, oh, that was a bad start, but I'll take it. And then on hole two you hit a birdie. Like, then, like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that, now I'm even for two holes. And then hole three is terrible and you have a triple. So you're like, okay, I'm going to X that out. Then you're still even because the X becomes a par. So you're kind of Xing out the bad scores as you go along, but you don't know how you're going to do as you keep going. So the strategy in it is, one, you have to try to, like, think of how you play. And two, if you get to hole 13 and you haven't used the five X's, the rest
this
of your holes are X'd out.
This is already too confusing for me.
What do you mean?
I don't want to think. I just want to go hit the damn ball, dude.
No, that is true. That is true. It does get into your head a little bit as you get closer to the end. Because, like,
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Like if you're on, like let's say you're on hole 15 and you have two X's left, if you don't use one of them on hole 15, then the last two scores are just going to be even. And if you think you could shoot under par on those last two holes, then maybe you want to use your X on 15. But there's a lot of strategy involved, and I might be missing a few parts and pieces here, but he was telling us all about all the strategy and everything into it. And it was fun, but you know, it gets a little in the weeds in terms of writing down the scores. That's why he took care of that.
And I thought I confused myself when I wanted to do the Fibonacci sequence when it came to the NCAA scoring on the brackets.
See, that, we did the that's Fibonacci where you lose sequence, me. By the way. I don't understand all right, that at see? All.
I'd rather, you know what? Instead, I would rather do an NFL mock schedule and figure it out and try to put the pieces of the puzzle together than keep the score of what you just told me. So you know what? If I'm going to do this on Monday the 19th in Ellicottville at Double Diamond, Black Diamond Course, if we're going to do this, par for a course, come on, go sign up, register, be a part of it. If you want to see something funny, you be a part of this and watch Jeremy keep all these scores of all these games that he's going to play and me going, yeah, you just do that. You write that down over there, pal. I'm just going to hit the ball. So that's what we're going to do. I think I might tweet out here about the stock prices for corner. Let's see where people are on this because I think it's fascinating. Like what's going to happen at the outside corner number two spot. Because I would say it this way too. Whoever starts week one doesn't have to be the same guy who starts week five or six or 17, right? It could be somebody different. Maybe Max Harrison winds up starting, but not right away. Rookie minicamp on Friday for the Buffalo Bills. We'll have coverage for you all week long. WGR550.com at Sal Sports. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back, wrap up your Tuesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Josh, did you see this announcement this morning that came over? Notre Dame and Clemson, historic partnership, they're calling it, for a football series.
Oh, really? What are they?
Let me read it to you, okay? Notre Dame versus Clemson. This is from Notre Dame Football. Their account says, two storied programs with national success and a history of memorable matchups, Notre Dame and Clemson have agreed to a 12-game home-and-home contract to meet on the gridiron each season between 2027 and 2038. How about that? They're going to meet for 12 straight years. Notre Dame already plays like a lot of the ACC schools, obviously, but now they're going to play Clemson here. And, you know, with the way that conferences are, and we all know the Notre Dame and their different kind of schedule, that's fine. Okay, national success, get it. History of memorable matchups, it says. They've played seven times ever.
Ever? And now they're going to play 12 more in a row?
Yes. They did play in the ACC championship game in 2020, and Clemson beat them 34-10. And in fact, here are the scores of these games that they played over their time. The last time they played, Notre Dame, three years ago, won 35-14. Clemson won before that 34-10. There was a 47-40 game in 2020 before that game, that same regular season. In 2018, Cotton Bowl, Clemson 30, Notre Dame 3. They did have a two-point game in 2015, and they have to go all the way back to the 70s before they played them. I would not call it a history of memorable matchups, to be quite honest with you.
Memorable for one side, maybe, because of the high scoring and the big victory, but...
Yeah. I mean, I guess, unless I'm missing one here, this was written in 2023, I believe. So hold on. Let me see if they... yeah, I'm probably missing one where they actually played recently, and somebody's like, Sal, they just played this year. Okay, yes, you're right. They probably did. 2023. Now, here's one from 2023. Clemson won 31-23. Yeah, I don't know. History of memorable matchups. Okay. It's cool. They're going to play, and we need more of these kinds of, you know, cool matchups every year, and we're getting more of them in college football, but I just think it's funny they wrote that like that. So Notre Dame and Clemson are going to play every year for 12 straight years beginning in 2027. Home and home, by the way. So what that means is obviously one game at Notre Dame, one game at Clemson. Maybe they'll source one out like Syracuse does with Notre Dame sometimes. I think they're done doing that, thankfully. So that was, they played that game at the Meadowlands a couple of times. All right, we are going to wrap things up here, and then as the week goes on, we'll have more on rookie minicamp. I have tweeted out on the WGR Extra Point Show Twitter account, which is at Extra Point WGR. If you had 100 shares of stock of equal value and had to place them on who will be the starting cornerback opposite Christian Benford week one for the Bills, how much are you putting on each of these players? Max Harrison, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, and other. Check it out. I retweeted it at Sal Sports. You can chime in on that. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next. They'll talk about the NHL draft lottery last night, I'm sure. One Bills Live after that. And Chopin the Bulldog come your way at 3 p.m. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday here on WGR.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.